Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Anna's joined me in the studio as she does every day in this hour. You kind of came in like breathing a sigh of relief, you know? You get a break from the kids right now. Homeschooling, all of that.
Oh, I cannot believe, like, if I had a full-time job and was trying to work from home while homeschooling, I would lose my mind right now. I don't know how people are doing it. I honestly don't know because it depends on the age of the kid too. Like Right. Our first grader, they need assistance through this Right. Process. So
yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I feel for the parents out there that are distance learning and getting it done. I also feel for local businesses that I think really since March have been working hard to keep people employed and do their business amid a pandemic. And now in the state of Oregon, wildfires, it's just, 2020 has been a really tough year. I have an uplifting story, though. You've heard us talk about Chown Hardware on this store or on this show. It was founded in 1879. I have a photograph in front of me of the original storefront with the great-great-grandfather. It is the oldest American family-owned business in the industry. And Nathan Chown from Chown Hardware is coming on the show right now to kind of victory lap. You guys are 141 years old, Nathan. I appreciate you.
Thanks. We look pretty good for our age, if I do say so myself.
I love it. Let's start with, business in 2020. I mean, I think there are a lot of people out there that can empathize. We have a lot of listeners who work in small businesses, own small businesses. What has it been like in your industry to, be in charge of a business and a lot of employees at a time that is really challenging?
Well, I think obviously this year has been completely unexpected. I shudder to say what's next because at this point, anything's possible. But the reality is, I think now more than ever, the human element comes into play and our values as a business of putting people first and doing business with integrity and honesty really starts to show when you're doing everything you can to keep people employed and keep your doors open. In a month's case this year, we couldn't have people in our showrooms. So that was a little bit of a challenge. But, we came up with some really creative ways of keeping people busy, looking forward to the future, looking at opportunities to do business better. And it's been tough, but we've managed and, sales and business are back up to manageable levels now. So we're really grateful for the loyalty of our customers and the hard work of our employees.
I think if anybody can figure out how to adapt and even continue to thrive, it would be you guys with the history. I mean, having come from, a family-owned business myself, I know how difficult that can be. Like, family dynamics on their own are difficult, but the fact that you guys are fifth generation and you're keeping this going is just incredible. What is that like to work with family?
It's working with family. At the end of the day, there's an old proverb that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And, I think that's something that we do very well. We're very honest with each other. We are a family. But we treat the business like it's a family. So there's that added benefit, I think, of, treating people like you want to be treated. And, I could tell you a story after story of, my great-great-grandfather paying his employees out of a borrowed loan that he took against his life insurance to get through the Great Depression. Or, you know, my grandfather actually had an employee come to him and ask him if he had any work for his wife during the recession of the 70s. And he said, you know, how much of a raise do you need to keep your wife at home with your kids? So there's definitely not been our shortage of adversity that we faced over the years, but we found ways to endure and stay together as a family. And again, just do the next right thing every opportunity we get.
We're talking to Nathan Chown of Chown Hardware. You hit on something too, because you couldn't have people in your showroom, but people could go to your website, which is chown.com. If you want to see Chown Hardware, you can also go to the Instagram account at Chown Hardware. But you have the benefit too, or maybe the confidence that comes with 140 years of being in business. You know, it wasn't like you'd been in business 14 months. You'd been through some things. Did that help you at this time?
Yeah, I think it, you know, when you are this old and you've gone through this many transitions, you look at it more as a legacy to carry on than a business to keep, you know, to keep going. So I know that my generation looks at this as our first obstacle. You know, in our generation's tenure of being in business, and it does give you a lot of confidence moving forward to know, in the past, and history has thrown us some pretty wild curveballs, and we've managed to suffer through and thrive and seek out new opportunities, and this is just, you know, our first test in the next chapter of the business and the legacy. So I know that we do glean a lot of strength and stick together, and we are a family at the end of the day, and we're here for each other.
I think one of the most intriguing members of your family is Eleanor Chown, who was the matriarch of the company. I'm so fascinated by her because she was raising three sons. She was working essentially 18 hours a day and printing flyers in the basement of their house. And like the smell of the ink would be filling their home. I just love her story and how like it feels like her spirit, you know, lives on in the company today. What advice would you have for other small business owners out there right now who are trying to figure out how to pivot, how to succeed, how to survive and make it through what is a tough time?
That's a great question. I think at the end of our day, we want to be honest with ourselves and stick to your pedigree of what's working. Taking risks is part of doing business, but there's calculated risks and some pretty outlandish risks. And I think that my grandfather's faith in my grandmother back in the 70s, when she had the vision for what we're most known for, which is our decorative showrooms, was a very calculated risk. And, you know, we're actually very proud to stand on her shoulders today, with half of the business being kind of grandma's hobby to them. So, you know, it takes a lot of faith and it takes a lot of honesty, but taking the opportunities as they come is, you know, I know that above all else, my grandfather believed in her ability and supported it. And at the end of the day, I think that's the biggest key to winning in the end is confidence. So that'd probably be the best advice right there.
Yeah, they actually called it grandma's foo-foo, right?
That was the term I was trying to avoid, but yeah.
Her foo-foo stuff, which years later has turned into like one of the, you know, key backbone of the business. Yeah. It's awesome.
It reminds me like of, you know, I've been in the Apple store. I think, you know, grandma had that idea. Like, you know, that was give people that hands-on experience, let them see things up close, let them put their hands on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Like, everybody gives Apple a lot of credit. I think Chown Hardware had it, right? I mean, isn't that what it's about?
That's exactly what it's about. You know, there's finer things in life, and those finer things are noticed in the details, and it's hard to see details on a computer screen, so that's why our showrooms are such a useful tool for us, and And we're very proud of the products we sell and the integrity behind our business. So it's been a wild ride and really excited for the future. We just opened our new showroom in Seattle. That's where I'm at. And I definitely look at this as honoring my grandmother's vision in a lot of ways, because I know that she would be very proud of what we built here, and to see how successful her little foo-foo project actually was for our business. So.
Nathan Chown is our guest. Chown.com to see all of the Chown hardware experience there online. You can check that out, or go to the Instagram account at Chown Hardware. Nathan, I talk about like sports teams all the time and what we can learn for our families. I think this is a great example of kind of reverse engineering that. Like, you've got a family business. I think we can all look at you guys and see the success and the core values, and we can learn things for ourselves. I also think, like, businesses right now, you got a lot of people at home. I know I've done this, and I know Anna has done this. We start looking around our house, and we start going, oh, we don't like this, or we do like this. So if people, this is a great time for people to do projects. I would think that there'd be an opportunity there. And I know it's kind of how we came into contact with you, because we replaced our windows and doors, and we got the hardware for the door at Chown Hardware. And, you know, I got to thank Baldwin for that and you guys. But for people who have projects, can they just go to your website? Can they go to chown.com and check things out?
Yep, you can go to our website, chown.com. We've got a lot of inspirational stuff on our Instagram at Chown Hardware. But we are open to the public. Unfortunately, we've been closed the last couple of days due to the air quality. But once we open our doors up again, feel free to come on in. We've been in this industry for 14 decades, so we know a thing or two about home improvement and how to spice up your kitchen or do what you can with to enjoy the at-home situation, although we're all really happy to be able to return to whatever the new normal is. So
I'm excited to see all of that and to foo-foo up our house.
There you go. That's what we're going to do. Nathan, I appreciate you guys, and happy 141st birthday. Great job by the family.
Thank you very much.
What a legacy. Nathan Chown, thank you. There it is, Chown Hardware. You can go to chown.com. I have, since the pandemic started, brought small business owners on this show. You heard from one earlier in the show, as Bess Wills at Gresham Ford called in and made a generous offer for people to match donations for the Oregon Wildfire Family Fund. You can do that at baldfacetruth.org. But again, this is another example. I think there's a tremendous interest in how small businesses are coping, because they are the lifeblood of community. And I have talked in the last few months to so many small business owners, and we kept bringing them on. Early in the pandemic, we were bringing them on like once a week to kind of go, like, how are you getting through this? Now we have a business who has... they've been through a depression. they went through the Great Depression.
Recessions, depressions, like, world wars. They've been through it all.
Yeah, because most of us are going, like, in our lifetime, we're going like, okay, we're all kind of hoping this is the biggest thing we all have to deal with.
Yeah.
When you have a company that is 141 years old, they've seen some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say, you know, something other than stuff. They've seen some stuff. And when you have that kind of confidence, I do think that that is a huge benefit. When you know you can survive, like, you know, hey, we got through a depression. We got through a recession. We can get through this. I think it's such a life lesson for all of us. And for people out there who own businesses, I am with you. I think we need, more than ever right now, we need to support our local businesses. You need to do business with them. We need to make sure that we support them. If you're like Anna, you're looking at the hardware on the cabinets, or you're looking at the doors that, you know, we've put in new windows and doors with Bridgetown Window and Door, and thank Kevin and the team there. And Kevin was like, hey, you want to get the hardware, you need Chown involved in this. And that's when we pivoted to Chown Hardware and picked out a Baldwin hardware set. So I appreciate them for their support and everything else. But a lot of people are home right now.
Looking we're around. Home. Yeah, we're home.
I've been home for 6 months. I need to get out.
I love supporting local businesses. And it's like, you know, a business that's so connected to its history. And like you were saying, gosh, they've already been through a pandemic. they were around for the one, you know, in the early 1900s. Yeah. So I just love that they're so connected to the various generations that have paved the way for who they are today. It's really, really cool stuff.
That's chown.com. Somebody just tweeted at me, said, can you give the website? Chown.com, Chown Hardware. Leave it right here. You got the bald face truth. Giants were supposed to be in Seattle tonight. The Giants are preparing to head back to San Francisco. Tonight's game is likely to be canceled and moved to Oracle Park. The air quality in Seattle is a big problem. That is developing story. Also, a friend of this show, Jeff Potrakis of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who covers Wisconsin football, wrote a story earlier today. He believes that the Big Ten will announce a plan for the 2020 football season that will include a 9-week schedule, 8 games in 9 weeks. I think that's kind of ambitious. I think you could get away with playing as few as 5 games if you really wanted to be just to jam a season in. But I think ultimately it will come down to the Pac-12 schools will follow what the Big Ten does. So I think the Big Ten announcement should be followed very closely as it comes down the pipeline later today or whenever that does come down the pipeline. In the meantime, bigger question for a lot of families in the country and in the world. Anna, maybe you could be an expert on this.
I'm not really an expert on anything. or I'm not going to claim to be.
People are wrestling with Halloween.
Yeah.
Our kids have costumes.
Oh, they're already planning for it.
Should Halloween be canceled given door-to-door, candy in hand, person-to-person contact? What the heck do we do with Halloween?
It just kind of depends on how paranoid you are about things, right? Like,
should it be canceled? Let's start there.
No. Gosh, no.
What was that reaction?
Are you kidding me? Like, the holidays are the only thing that we can kind of, like, hold on to right now for a measure of sanity and to mark our time.
That's kind of unfair to sports fans because I think a lot of people would look at sports and go, hey, that's our thing. That's our sanity. Why are you taking that away? And sports fans have all been... I guess we haven't really been good sports about it. I was going to say, we've been really good about this.
Yeah. Okay,
look at us.
I understand that.
No, but you're...
Don't cancel Halloween for the kids.
They can still dress up. You have to trick or treat at your own house. Just keep coming up and down the walkway.
I think trick or treat. I don't know. Can we, like, first of all, we should get our kids costumes that involve masks. Like, you know, like Sochi should be a ninja this year, right? So it's just a natural part of her costume. So that solves two birds with one stone.
Is that kind of racist what you just said right there?
Why?
Because she's Asian. She's half Asian.
No, it's racist for you to assume that I made the connection.
You said ninja.
I was just thinking of costumes that had masks.
Well, couldn't she be like Casper the Ghost? Like, why would it have to be a ninja?
Yeah.
I just like any
opportunity. I'm not the racist.
Any opportunity that I can
exchange. and then, it really does come down to how paranoid are you, right? So... we know what we know, sort of, now about how long the coronavirus sits on surfaces and whatnot. Would we want them to, like, bring home an apple from someone's house?
No.
We wouldn't let them eat that anyway, because there's razor blades in it. Everybody knows that.
How would you give away candy? Like, could you space the candy bars apart and leave them on the porch? Or what would you do? Because, you know, we're giving away full-size candy bars for any trick-or-treater who comes out this year.
We're doing
full size.
Oh, you're letting me do that now?
We're going full
size. This has been a point of contention in the past.
We're going full size. Have you seen the walkway? How far they have to come up to get to the house?
This is the argument that I've made. Am I talking to myself?
I just don't know. Okay, we can wipe down all the candy bars.
We can wipe down the candy bars.
And put them on the porch, separated by 6 feet.
Right.
Right. You remember that jackass a couple years ago that grabbed the whole bowl of candy and ran away?
Yeah, bad karma, bad juju.
He almost fell. And so, it's on camera.
Because we have steps. Oh, so because we have steps, we could lay the candy out like 6 feet apart on all the steps.
But who's going to
spray them? We'll have a big sign, a ghoulish sign that says
sanitized candy. Come and get it.
And it has to be the kind that is like fully sealed and wrapped, like Hershey's Kisses. Like you got on me before for buying the wrong kind of candy.
Yeah, you didn't know what you were doing in the beginning, but you grew up, you know, you kind of grew up different. You guys weren't celebrating a lot of Halloweens and holidays or birthdays or Christmas. Or I kind of got a little Mork and Mindy experience for listeners out there who remember Mork from Ork. Mork was from the planet Ork, played by Robin Williams, great series. And Mork didn't know what he was doing. He didn't even know how to sit down. And they had to teach him everything. That's pretty much what I had to do with Anna.
It wasn't bad candy. I bought Halloween candy. You brought it home. You were like,
nope,
this isn't going to work.
It's It's embarrassing.
You said, because it's only foil wrapped. It's not sealed. So it's not, people don't want that.
If you were looking to poison young children, it's exactly the kind of candy that you would buy. She bought, guys, you can't give children Hershey's Kisses for Halloween. You can't do it unless you are a relative. You can't do that because parents are just going to toss it.
There's a lot of candy in that category. So gold coins are out?
Yes. Gold coins are out. Apples are out. Hershey's Kisses are out. Anything that you could tamper with is out. It has to be wrapped. You can't, you know.
Well, I've since learned my ways, and now you've advanced the full-size candy bar
Which candy bar shall we go with?
Isn't that a little obnoxious, though?
No, I don't think it. I think it's generous. And you know what? For kids who come to our door this year, you're getting a full-size candy bar.
Sanitized candy bar. I remember that when I was little and living in Park Rose, when I got old enough, we figured out that Eastmoreland gave out full-size candy bars. So we would haul ourselves in somebody's car over to Eastmoreland and trick-or-treat over by Reed College. Like, you know. Reed College Place?
Yeah.
Man, that was the jam.
Should we go back there this year? I'll dress up. I also have an age requirement on our Halloween.
No one above the age of?
If you drove to our house, you're not getting a candy bar. That's the rule, okay? If you got a license, you're a licensed driver in the state of Oregon, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that.
Are we going to let our kids go trick-or-treating then too?
You tell me.
And we'll just bring the candy home and just spray it all with Lysol and not let them eat it for...
Anna?
What?
I could pretend that I am the gatekeeper on that, but we both know. You're just asking me, and then later you're going to announce what the verdict is. So let's just get to the verdict. Yeah. What is the verdict? Are the kids going to go, will you let them go down the street? Let's just say we have, you know, they usually don't go far.
No.
If will you let them go down the street and collect some candy from our nice neighbors?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's reasonable. I think we will sanitize it when we get home just to probably make ourselves feel better. I don't know. We will wear masks because if we're, you know, trick or treat. I don't want to give you coronavirus.
But if we're outside and we're spread apart from people, do we have to wear masks?
I think if you're going door to door knocking and saying trick or treat, I think it would be responsible to wear masks.
You know, I think who have a bigger problem if they canceled Halloween are the millennials. Judah Newby, Alabama Adriana. When I say Halloween is canceled, you guys have a physical reaction to that?
Nope.
No, I'm all for it.
Oh.
I don't know.
Really?
What are you doing grouping me with all this... millennial love.
You are a millennial. But you're a millennial homeowner and you are about to have a major problem. You better have some candy.
Look, for a long time, one of the big dreams in life was to get married so that me and my future wife could hand out walnuts to the kids. Trick or treating. And being that couple.
Walnuts.
Now, I say we're going to ditch the walnuts and we're going to be very generous this year. And when people trick or treat at our door, pocket hand sanitizers are going to be offered in return. So I can't wait for that.
That's probably pretty expensive. But y'all, I have a question for the survey of the room. What's the worst thing y'all ever got trick or treating?
My hand is up.
Milk duds. Sorry.
No, what? Milk duds are great.
I hate milk duds.
This is bad. I got a roll of pennies from a neighbor.
Pennies?
A roll. She rolled those. It was like 50 pennies in a paper roll.
Hey, we're in a coin shortage right now, so.
I remember walking away going, what did she just drop in my bag?
What is a roll of pennies equal? Is that like
50 cents, man? And I remember, like, go buy yourself. Like, I didn't have time to get you a candy bar. Here's a roll of pennies. And I remember reaching into the bag and holding it up and being like, what is this? And my parents were like, she just gave you some change.
Oh, man. That is great.
How about you guys?
I got a thing of popcorn one time. Like, unpopped popcorn.
Oh!
Yeah. Just from the box, you know, folded up in the plastic.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
I remember one time, I think it was before I understood what trick-or-treating was, because I didn't go trick-or-treating when I was super young, but somebody trick-or-treated at my house. I was like 6 years old. I thought they were offering me the candy.
Oh, you took it.
So I opened up my door, and I was like, that is so nice. Thank you so much to some three-year-old with a bowl of candy out. And I was like, I love this holiday. And my parents are like, yeah, that's not how that works, dude.
Oh, man, that's great.
Matthew on Twitter says, instead of trick-or-treating, just hide the candy inside your house like Easter eggs, turn off the lights, and give them a flashlight to go find it. That would be like payback for all the times I've stepped on a Lego this week. Ooh. In the dark.
Oh.
That's like every day at our house. That, I mean, basically every day is a scavenger hunt for where I've hidden the candy.
Where's the remote control? Where's the candy?
No, like, I hide the actual candy, and every day, like, cupboards are opened and, you know, chairs are used to climb up to the third level of the shelf to find where mom's hidden the candy.
They are motivated, those two, especially the two little ones. They find it. You know what they do? They eat it. And then, guys, you want to find the remnants of it? They drop it under the couch.
So gross.
Holy underneath the couch the other day, Anna reached under.
And found seven Snickers, bite-sized Snickers wrappers. One licked lollipop that was stuck to the carpet. And I can't even...
She's leaving it there for later.
A half-eaten bowl of cereal. I was like, what's happening down here?
I love the lollipop because you were like, suddenly her arm was stuck under there because she could start pulling the wrappers out. And all of a sudden it was something too heavy to pull out. And she was like, and I was like, oh no, what is she going to pull out of there? And then pulled up a lollipop and it had carpet fibers stuck to it. Big lollipop. All right, leave it there. You got the bald face.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.